go. You want to go? You think you're going to go? All right. Children's Church. All right, here they go. Outstanding. Yeah, man. Outstanding. Here they come. All right, you bring a copy of God's Word with you? Amen. Boy, we have come together today to worship Almighty God, to sing praises to Jesus' name, to be filled, to have a fresh infilling of the person of the Holy Spirit, which is recognizing who we are in Christ, so that we can get through this next week and be a witness in the world. Amen? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Where in the world is Deuteronomy? It is in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It is the fifth book of Moses. It is the fifth book of the law. It is the fifth book of what is called the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30. We're going to begin reading here in verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. You say, man, that's a ways away from 1 Corinthians. You are correct. You are correct. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. If you found that reference this morning, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
All right. Sounds like the people of God are ready to hear the Word of God. God's Word reads here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. It says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." One more time. "Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your church today. We thank you for Sanctity of Life Sunday. We're thankful that we can rally together as a congregation, as a people of God, and we can talk about protecting the unborn. We can pray about protecting the unborn. We can get some backbone this morning on the subject of pro-life. Father God, I pray that the free will offering at concluding this service would be one that would represent this congregation well as we give above and beyond to Montgomery County Right to Life to support those that are in the fight, to give them the tools that they need to show pregnant mothers their babies, to let them hear their babies' heartbeats, to let them comprehend and understand that what is inside of them is alive and is from God. Father, we love you today, and we're thankful that our mothers did not end our lives prematurely, but allowed us to come to fruition, walk this earth, go through the struggle that we've been through, but find you in the process and be gloriously saved. We pray for those even today that do not know you, that are perhaps playing religion with you, that are perhaps have some head knowledge about what they think salvation is, Father, we pray there's one here today that needs to come to that salvific experience. May they lay their sin down today and pick up salvation before they leave. We love you today. Thank you for loving us. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. A few statistics. This is always kind of an emotional, just kind of a roller coaster Sunday for me as we look at Sanctity of Life Sunday. So blessed that God has given us four children. But when you think about how many children die prematurely each year, just a few statistics. Now, these are from Operation Rescue. You can find that on the internet there. In the United States, about half of all pregnancies are unintended and not planned. Of all unintended pregnancies, 4 in 10 are aborted. There are approximately 1.21 million abortions in America, just in these United States of America. 1.2 million abortions in America each year. There has been a steady decline in abortions since 1980. Praise the Lord and hallelujah for that. Each year, about 2% of all women aged 15 to 44 have an abortion. Of the women obtaining abortions in any given year, about 47% of them have had at least one previous abortion. By age 45, listen to this, by age 45, one-third of American women will have had at least one abortion. The United States has the highest abortion rate at 19.4 per 1,000 births of any Western industrialized nation. 88.7% of all abortions take place by the 12th week of pregnancy. Now, just a few more things I want to share with you, and then we're going to get on down the road here. Public opinion about abortion. Since the election of President Barack Obama, Americans have experienced a shift in how they view abortion. In the spring of 2009, several polls showed that for the first time, the majority of Americans identify themselves as pro-life. Amen? As pro-life. Not only that, those who identify themselves as pro-choice fell dramatically in the same time period that pro-life sentiment rose. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying maybe there's some trends that pro-life movement is gaining some ground, but still 1.21 million abortions in America is too high, way too high. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, as I've mentioned to you already. It's the third Sunday in January every year. And as we think about our pro-life stance, as we think about our Sanctity of Life position, our desire to speak up for the unborn in the public square, as we think about that, our desire to pray for the unborn's protection, our desire to see women and physicians and all kinds of health care workers delivered from this abomination, I want us to be reminded that sin and poor choices do not thwart the purposes of Almighty God. God is on the throne, He is in control, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for each of us. See, there is a sense, what I want you to just gravitate to and think about as we think about how important pro-life is, there is a sense in which the issue of life goes back before science, even goes back before conception into the eternal counsels of a Creator God, all the way back. See, God deals with us not only after birth for all eternity, but friend, He also deals with us before our birth, before our conception. He deals with us in all eternity past. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I know that because of the Word of God. To Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 17 goes on to read this. Because he slew me not, Jeremiah writing here, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me. What's the point of those two passages together? The point of those two passages is this. If an abortion had been performed upon the baby in Jeremiah's mother's womb, he still would have been Jeremiah. That's the point. Although his mother may not have known his name, God knew him. See, life begins even before conception, in the eternal counsels of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, you think those few scriptures, you think this biblical record, you think these 66 books, you think the fact that this is true, you think that because of the Word of God, because of the Bible, you think because of that, it would end the debate on abortion. But it does not. Because we live in a land, we live in an environment, a culture, we live in a society where God's Word has been spurned, rejected, counted as fable, and story. And instead of that, instead of taking God's word, we would rather practice self-worship. We would rather practice convenience. We would rather live for this world than to live for the God of the next world. That's what we would rather do. I want to ask you this question, and then we're going to get back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. The question is simply this: what is the main reason for convenience abortions on demand? What do you mean by convenience abortions? I mean self-worshipping abortions on demand. What do you mean by that? I mean, living for this world kind of abortions. What is the main reason for convenience abortion? Did you know that the fact is this, that less than 1% of abortions are performed to save the life of the mother? Well, that's one, the pro-choice advocates always tend to throw out, isn't it? Oh, you know, we don't want to outlaw this. We don't want to make this any more difficult than it is to get, because, you know, sometimes the woman's life is in danger. Less than 1%. While he was United States Surgeon General, Dr. C. Everett Koop, he was the bearded fellow years ago, right? Had the big long, right? Duck Dynasty beard going on. C. Everett Koop. He stated publicly that in his 38 years as a pediatric surgeon, he was never aware of a single situation in which a free-born child's life had to be taken in order to save the life of the mother. He said the use of this argument to justify abortion in general was a smokescreen. Just a lie from the pit of hell. See, the main reason convenience abortions take place, the main reason self-worshipping abortions take place, the same reason falling for this world and not thinking about the next world abortions take place, why they're the law of the land, is not because of the militant minority, not because of the women liberationists, not because of the liberal politicians. No, the main reason is primarily because moral people do nothing and say little. That's why it goes on here in America. See, we listen to co-workers or family members or neighbors communicate their erroneous ilk that abortion has a place in society, that abortion has a place in this land. And let me tell you something. Why do moral people remain silent? It's because of men like me not doing their job. That's why moral people are silent. Because pulpits today across the land fail to address it, fail to talk about it. They are silent on it. Well, you know, we bring that up, we're going to offend people. May you be offended today. Amen? love you in the name of Jesus, but may you be offended if you're offended. May you get happy in the same pants you get upset in. Amen? I mean, that's by the bottom line on that. Because of the silence of mainline denominations, that's why moral people say nothing. Because some denominations have in past years taken a pro-abortion, pro-choice platform and stand. That's why moral people don't say anything. That's why moral people are silent. That's why they are inactive. Let me tell you something. Our current societal and cultural plight leads us right back to the Word of God. Points us right back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Long ago, Moses brought his people to a point of decision. Brought them to a crossroad of action. They had to make a choice. And with these words in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and thy seed may live. Oh, my friends, that passage speaks a word to many groups today. Four groups that passage speaks to. Number one, those that have had an abortion. Let me tell you something. If you're hearing this on the internet, somebody's giving you a CD and you're listening to this, let me tell you something. If you have had an abortion, abortion is not the unpardonable sin. Somebody say hallelujah today. Hallelujah. That is not the unpardonable sin. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 and 6 reads this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Glory, hallelujah for Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all here are sinners. Saved sinners, some, but we're all sinners here today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to be cleansed. Praise God for that. I want to tell you, many live with the haunting. Many live with the longing that if only that moment, that decision could be lived over again. What I would tell folks that have made this bad choice, this sinful choice, the grief you feel is normal. It's a normal thing to feel grief over sin. You should thank God that your conscience is not seared and that you can still feel grief. See, the good news is that Jesus died on the cross to make a way for you to be free from your failure and saved from your sin. And if you aborted a child, God will forgive you if you will confess it and ask Him for forgiveness. And through His forgiveness, you can know the true freedom, which comes from placing Him as Lord and Savior of your life. You can purpose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You can accept His cleansing, and then praise God, you can even forgive yourself and be free indeed. Rejoice in the fact that your child is present with the Lord and that our sin does not thwart the great hand of God. Amen? Well, Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15 through 20, and specifically verse 19, speaks to a lot of groups today. The second group it speaks to are physicians, doctors who have performed abortions. The thing I would say that this verse speaks to them is this: cleanse your hands. Cleanse them. James chapter 4, verse 8 reads, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I mean, for centuries, when medical doctors have obtained their medical degrees, when they finally have finished all of their training, They get these medical degrees to then go practice medicine and be in all these residencies. But for centuries, when the degree part has been completed, they take what is called an oath of Hippocrates. An oath of Hippocrates. And many doctors have the oath displayed on their office wall. They have it framed beautifully in written and flowing script letters. And a portion of this Hippocratic oath states this. This is what it says. It says, I will give no deadly medicine to anyone if asked, nor suggest such counsel, and in like manner I will not give to a woman, the word here is pessary, means instrument, I will not give to a woman an instrument to produce abortion. Yeah. See, for some medical doctors today, it is no longer the Hippocratic oath, but it is the hypocritic oath. The hypocritic oath. Cleanse your hands. In listing the things which God hates, Solomon says, one of the things is hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Over 2,500 years ago, King David, a murderer, prayed this in Psalm chapter 51, verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. See, if the doctors will repent, if the health professionals will repent, God will forgive them and say to them, as he said to another sinner in Scripture in John chapter 8, verse 11, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. See, your medical education, your medical degree cannot remove the sight of an aborted baby that comes through the womb alive and lays in a bucket to be sent out for trash and lies there writhing for life in a plastic bucket. See, your medical training can't take that away. But Jesus can help you through that. He can save your soul and He can cleanse your hands. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of sin that was covered on the cross. That's the kind of death that was defeated when Jesus allowed Himself to be nailed and shed His blood. Well, I want to tell you, He's an awesome God. And this verse in Deuteronomy speaks to physicians who have performed abortions. Cleanse your hands. But there's a third group. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, specifically verse 19, speaks to. And that group is anyone contemplating an abortion. Anyone thinking about it, anyone thinking that it perhaps might be right in some kind of circumstance or issue, man, I want to tell you, for you, this verse says, there's a human being inside of you. To you, this verse says, God has already named that child. To you, this verse says, do not buy the argument, don't entertain the argument. Don't even think twice about the argument that the child is an unwanted child. There are many couples right now trying to adopt. Do not destroy something that is not yours. Oh, well, it's in my body. And my body is mine today, Pastor. Well, the child in your body belongs to God who gave you life. That's who it belongs to. And even though it may be in your womb at the present time, it is God's property. Amen. One lady who had an abortion, she was a member of a large inner city church. Poor, struggling socioeconomic climate surrounded the church. And one lady who had an abortion said this. She was a member of this church. She said, I actually admire the young women in our church who are very visible and have children out of wedlock. She said, I'm not trying to say that their sin of adultery is justified, but she said, they could have taken the coward's way out. They could have taken the coward's way out to avoid the shame of a visible sin. Praise God for their example to other girls that these out of wedlock children can be loved and accepted. Amen. I cannot look today, she went on to say, I cannot look today at an 11-year-old child without the pain of realizing my child would be that age today. Oh, but listen to what she says. But when I see my baby, God's blessed her with another child, but when I see my baby, I realize how deeply God must love me to once again trust me with one of His little ones. Amen. He's a good God. Even when we sin, even when we mess it up for the nth time, He's a good God. Well, long ago, Moses brought his people to a decision with these words, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I've been talking to you this morning about how that passage, specifically that verse, speaks a word to many groups. The first group are those that have had an abortion. What did we say? Abortion is not the unpardonable sin. Well, there's another group this passage speaks to. It's physicians and healthcare workers who performed abortions. Cleanse your hands, James 4:8 says. Oh, but there's a word to those contemplating abortion. And the word is, it don't belong to you. That's God's. Bring it up in the way it should go. And if you can't raise it, give it for adoption to a couple that so desperately wants a child. Amen? And then finally, this passage speaks to the silent majority who call abortion murder. Oh, many of us here are moral. Many of us here really take our actions and our behavior seriously. We really take our study of the Word and our time in prayer. We take that seriously. We have convictions. Oh, but friend, we're so silent at the most opportune times when God gives us a divine appointment to further the gospel ball, to get His truth a little bit further down the road, we sit back on our heels and we become part of the silent majority who call abortion murder. We were in chapel this past week over at our school, and we were beginning to start that time, and I asked them to turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, which is kind of the passage that God has laid on my heart for the coming year. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. It's after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. And I share this passage of Scripture like I want to share it with you. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And my question to them was this. I've been leading their chapel time since the beginning of school. I've been helping with their PE for the last couple of weeks. And so I asked them the question, do you think Pastor Stephen is peculiar? They kind of looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And little Connor said, what do you mean by peculiar? I said, do you think Pastor Lee is odd? And all the hands in the room shot up. And I went, praise God. Amen, I am peculiar. Right? That's the kind of people we got to be. Hey, you know what? The kids like me. They may not agree with everything I try to teach them, but they respect me. Why? Because I stand for something. and I'm there to try to help them. And that's who we have to be out in the world. Hey, everybody around us at work may not agree with us. But boy, they need to look at us and our peculiar ways and our oddity. And they ought to be able to say about us, well, that guy believes God. He believes that Bible. And he's always trying to further its truth in this place. Man, my schoolmates ought to look at me if I'm in public school and be able to say something similar to the same thing. I stick out like a red herring. I stick out like a sore thumb. Here I am, this peculiar Christian, chalked up with all these worldly folks. Somebody's got to be a voice. Somebody's got to stand up for the unborn. Somebody's got to champion the cry, don't you think? Somebody. See, this passage speaks to the silent majority who call abortion murder. We must remember, friends, that our enemies are not pro-choice people. That's not the enemy. It's not the liberal politician. It's not the women liberationists. It's not the ignorant theologians. It's the satanic system. It's the culture. It's the deception. It's the world in which we live. That's the enemy. See, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what we're fighting. That's what we're fighting. Abortion is simply the outward manifestation of the inward problem of the selfish, sinful, headed to hell heart. That's all it is. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, proceed adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." I want to tell you, it is Satan's smorgasbord. He's trying to pump this stuff out. He's doing a pretty good job in some different areas of the world. I want to tell you, we need to stand in the gap. We need to stand in the gap. Isaiah said it best 700 years before the coming of Christ the first time when he said this in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 8. He said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." You know what was Isaiah, what he was really trying to say was get involved. Get involved. Don't be silent. When we think about Moses' words here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, when we think about Isaiah's words, when we think about these different scriptural passages that we've looked at, these things apply to us in the same way. Today is the day to get involved. Get involved. Sign that social media petition when it comes up on your tweets or your twits or your Facebook or whatever you people out there call that stuff, right? Sign it and forward it on to all your friends. Well, you know, if I send it to everybody, some people are gonna remove me from their feed. So what? Move it on down the road for Jesus. Sign that thing and send it on. Email your congressman. Write your senator. I mean, if you still like to take the pen and the paper, write him one, right? Or email him, those of you that are techie today. Or text him. I don't know if you've got his number. Text the guy or the gal. Say something. Warn others. Warn others. I think this is the biggest one right here. We should warn others that voting for abortion defiles our nation's hands with innocent blood. Oh, there's enough innocent blood on the hands of America already. Warn those that you have an opportunity to warn that abortion defiles our nation's hands. Pray for support organizations which stand for the life of the unborn. We have a great one here in this county, Montgomery Right to Life. Pray for these people. Well, who are they? You get home, look them up on the internet. Montgomery County Right to Life. And finally, give a financial offering. Do something of substance to fund these pro-life warriors. They're always trying to add this new technology to show these young, confused mothers that inside of them is something alive. It's not a blob of tissue. It's not a fetus. It's a baby. It's a person. It's got the thumbprint of God all over it. They're always needing help in those areas. What will we do? Will we stand? Will we speak? Will we pray? Or will we just say amen and remain silent? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to beat the drum for the unborn. Those that can't defend themselves. Those that can't protect themselves. Those that have not asked to be born into this world. Oh, they need a protector. They need an advocate. They need churches and they need pastors and they need church members. They need Christians. They need people of conservative conviction to stand for them, to pray for them, to encourage those that are on the front line, to give for programs and equipment and people to help them make the right decision, and that's to protect life. Father God, I pray that as we reflect this Sunday, we would sense the importance of this. And Lord, we would sense the conviction we should have. And we should not be afraid any longer, if we are afraid, to speak up and be counted. In the public square, in the neighborhood, in the schoolhouse, on the sports team, wherever you have us, may we be counted for righteousness and to protect the innocents. Father, we pray for those that have struggled with this decision. We pray for those that have perhaps had an abortion. Lord, may your grace, may your forgiveness, may the peace that passes all understanding flow that way today. And Lord, if there's anyone here that is struggling with that decision of salvation, in a few moments when we stand to sing, let them come out today. Let them walk this aisle for Jesus. What an appropriate day to receive new life as we talk about protecting life. Father God, we love you. We make ourselves available to you. May we come to the altar to pray for those that are unborn, that need protecting, that need help in this area. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah and Miss Karen are going to lead us in this time of invitation. The altars are open for prayer. I'm down front. If you need counsel, if you need to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you come today.